Chapter 4. Lexi finished with the meringues and loaded the batches she'd made earlier in the morning into two white boxes, which she secured with old-fashioned pink and white striped baker's twine. One box was for Nan's and the other for her first stop, the previous owners of Jack's house, Charlie and Lois MacDonald. She pulled her VW Beetle onto Main Street, then followed that to County Road. The assisted living complex the MacDonalds had moved to was several miles away, off County Road. The traffic was almost non-existent, and Lexi let herself relax while she drank in the blue skies, lush woods, and occasional cow-dotted field along the way. She was almost at her destination when a blue car coming the other way jolted her out of her driving trance. Was that Ruth's Oldsmobile? She squinted out the windshield as the two cars drew closer to one another. It was the same blue color and make as Ruth's 1970s Olds, and, as far as Lexi knew, Ruth was the only one in the county that drove one. It had to be her. But something was odd. Ruth rarely drove the car, and when she did, it was usually to shuttle Nan's, Ida, and Helen somewhere in search of clues, and that was only when they couldn't talk Lexi into driving them. But she didn't see the usual four heads sticking up. There was only one. As the cars passed each other, her heart skipped a beat. The driver was Nan's. Lexi tooted the horn and waved, but Nan's paid no mind. Her eyes stared straight ahead, her hands gripping the steering wheel at the 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock positions. Lexi wasn't surprised that her grandmother was unwaveringly focused on driving. Nan's hardly ever drove anymore, which made her wonder what was so important that Nan's would strike out in the car by herself. She didn't have long to ponder it, though, because the turnoff to the assisted living was upon her. She parked, grabbed her white bakery box, and headed inside. Lexi had met the MacDonalds several years ago through Nan's. She knew that Charlie had some problems walking, and they had moved to this facility as opposed to the Brook Ridge Retirement Center where Nan's lived, because this one offered private apartments with assistance on site, but she had no idea what unit they lived in. Lexi had stopped in at the office and was directed to apartment 112, where she now stood, rapping on the door loudly. The lock clicked, and a vaguely familiar, wrinkled face peered out. "Mrs. MacDonald?" The woman nodded. "Do you remember me? I'm Mona Baker's granddaughter, Lexi." She held up the white box. "I brought you some meringue cookies."
"Why, Lexi, yes, of course, do come in."
Lois opened the door wider, and Lexi could see Charlie standing behind her. Neither of them seemed that surprised to see her, but Lexi figured at their age, not much was surprising. The apartment was small, but neat as a pin. To the right was a kitchen with almond formica cabinets and a matching formica counter. Stainless steel appliances winked at her. The kitchen was open, with a breakfast bar opening to a small dining area.
"Good to see you, Lexi."
Charlie let go of the grip on his walker, and his strong handshake surprised Lexi. He motioned to the living room in front of them.
"Come on in."
Charlie ushered her over to a beige leatherette sofa, while Lois rushed the box into the kitchen.
"This is a lovely surprise, Lacey,"
Lois shot over her shoulder as she arranged the cookies on a pink Depression-era glass plate. "Lexi."
"Yes, of course. Sorry, Lucy."
Lois plopped the plate of cookies on the coffee table and tapped her head.
"The memory isn't what it used to be."
"How is Mona?"
Charlie turned to Lois.
"We haven't seen her in months, right, dear?"
"That's right. I hope she is doing well."
Lois turned to Lexi. "Very well. At least I think she is."
"Did you bake these?"
Charlie pointed at the cookies. "Yes, I own the bakery, the Cup and Cake, downtown. I'm trying out a new recipe for the Brook Ridge Falls annual dessert contest. Lexi picked up the plate and held it out to him. Please try one. Charlie took a cookie, and Lexi passed the plate over to Lois. Then they all sat there, looking at each other. Lexi decided to get down to business. I don't know if you know this, but I married the man that bought your house. Oh? Lois raised her brow. That's nice, dear. Yes. Well, anyway, we were cleaning out the basement.
Such a nice young man he was, wasn't he, Mother?
Charlie interrupted. Oh, yes. Lois nodded. I think he was a butcher.
No, I believe he was a gardener.
Lois narrowed her eyes. No, that's not it either. I'm pretty sure he was a food critic.
No, dear. He was a...
He's a police detective? Lexi had to cut Charlie off, or she feared they'd go on like this all day.
Yes, that's right.
Lois nodded and settled back in her chair.
Anyway, what did you say about the bathroom?
The basement.
Oh, yes. That house had a nice large one. Did he refinish it? We were always going to do that.
Charlie's expression turned wistful. No, it was full of your stuff, Lexi said. That's actually why I'm here. Lois waved her hand around.
Oh, whatever you find down there, you can keep, dear. Isn't that right, Charlie?
Yes, of course. As you can see, we don't have much room here.
It's not about the items. I was wondering about the basement itself, Lexi said. Did you ever notice anything strange about it?
The Grange Hall? No, I don't think we had anything down there from the Grange Hall.
Lois bit into her meringue cookie and made a face.
No, not the Grange. I said strange. Did you notice anything unusual about the basement? A smell or maybe something about the walls?
Lois and Charlie looked at each other and shrugged.
I think we had some beach balls and probably a few tennis balls, Charlie said. Lois here used to be quite the tennis player in her day.
The two of them fell silent, reveling in their old memories, judging by the wistful smiles on their faces. Disappointment prickled through Lexi's veins. She hadn't gotten any useful information from the McDonald's. Were they too senile to be reliable? She didn't know what she was hoping to find out. If Jack's theory of the killer being the builder was true, then the McDonald's most likely had no idea what was hidden in their basement, and Lexi certainly wasn't going to be the one to tell them. They'd find out soon enough.
When you bought the house, did you notice the basement walls were strange? Oh, we were so excited. It was our first house, you know. We were going to decorate the basement like a speakeasy. We planned to finish the walls off and...
Lois's voice trailed off, and she shrugged.
We started to do a little remodeling down there, but then life got in the way and we just started using it as storage.
We never really did a lot down there. It was just storage, Charlie added.
Did you notice the builder acting strange? Or anything that seemed out of place right after you moved in? You were the first people to move in on that street, right?
Oh, no, Mona was there already, and Patty and Mary Sullivan. Floyd Nichols had just moved in the week before us. The builder was very nice, and it was a wonderful neighborhood. We were all very close back in the day,
Charlie said.
Yes, Lois added. We had a lot of fun, lots of backyard parties and barbecues. People just don't do that sort of thing anymore.
Lois's eyes turned sad.
I guess they prefer to stay inside, watching cable TV or tweeting and posting on Facebook.
Lexi was taken aback. If people already lived in the neighborhood, wouldn't they have smelled something? Especially Nan's, who lived right behind them. Lexi felt certain the neighbors would have had some sort of welcoming party if they were as close as Lois said. And none of your new neighbors mentioned anything odd about your house when you moved in?
Odd? No, not our house.
Charlie pressed his lips together and looked at the ceiling.
There was this one incident after we moved in. Apparently, a stranger was seen skulking around the neighborhood.
Lexi's ears perked up. A stranger? What do you mean?
Lois shrugged. I'm not sure. We just heard about it when we got back. We were on vacation in Europe that summer, but there was definitely a suspicious stranger around.
She glanced at Charlie.
Right?
That's right. They told us about it when we got back. Someone with a tattered sweatshirt who didn't fit in. The neighbors were in an uproar.
I was a little nervous because they claimed he was near our house. But that was so long ago. I barely remember.
Lois stood and helped Charlie out of his chair. Then they made their way toward the door. Lexi didn't want to overstay her welcome, but she figured she could get one last question in.
When you came back from vacation, did you notice anything strange about the house?
Lois and Charlie glanced at each other.
No, dear. We didn't have any problems with mice. Did you say you saw a mouse?
No, no mouse.
Lexi slipped through the door Lois was now holding open, then turned back to look at the couple.
Well, it was nice talking to you.
You too, dear, and thank you for the cookies.
Lois leaned toward her, her voice lowered to a whisper.
They were very good, but they could use a touch more sugar.